You got your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We're in the middle of what now looks like is going to be a five-week series. And I'm calling it In Pursuit of Wisdom and Understanding. And for a memory tool, I've labeled the messages with R's, the roots and the reverence, which we looked at the last 2 weeks. This weekend, we'll look at the response. And before we're finished, we'll look at the resistance and the reflection. From at least the days of Moses, right after the Exodus, God's expressed intention was for his people to be marked by a highly visible wisdom and understanding. This wisdom and understanding was to be on display and recognizable to the nations as a kind of magnet to draw the nations into an active, ongoing, conversational relationship with the one true God. After emphasizing the need to be obedient to God's leadership, Moses told the people that their obedient lifestyle would show and demonstrate their wisdom and understanding, and their obedient lifestyle would cause the nations to say this: surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord their God is near them whenever they pray to him? As the Lord would have it, I became an associate pastor the year that I turned 30. I had grown up in a pastor's home. I had even graduated from seminary. Cindy and I had been on the mission field for a couple years, but I really didn't think I would pastor until I was in my 50s. That was my plan. I really wanted to be actively involved in the lives of our children, and growing up in a pastor's home, I realized just how difficult that could be with all the demands and strains that happen with pastors and those kind of things, and I really wanted to be there for my kids, and by God's grace, I was able to do that even while being part of two growing churches. I also had a profound sense at 30 that I was too young to be pastoring. I mean, at 30, I was still referring to people in our congregation as Mr. This and Mrs. That. I mean, I'd grown up in the church my whole life, and to call adults by their first name, even though I was 30, in the church just didn't feel quite right to me. And, you know, so it was just that sense like, I don't know, but God. And so in those days, something that I regularly prayed with our family as we'd have our times together and different things was for the Lord to give me wisdom beyond my years and experience. And one day, our oldest daughter, Aria, was praying for me, and she prayed, God, give Daddy wisdom behind his ears. And listen, to this very day, I'll take wisdom wherever I can get it. And I definitely know I need it behind my ears, because my own mind and my own intelligence can use all the help it can get. And here's good news. Our God loves to give us wisdom. He loves to give us wisdom. Two key issues are how to recognize it for what it is, and then two, what do we do with it when we get it? I believe this combination of wisdom and understanding is the key, because understanding opens up to us the access we need to discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. The wisdom God gives all of us so freely, without exclusion and without finding fault, is so much more beneficial when we recognize, oh, that's his voice. And, oh, I understand. I grasp what he's saying to me. And even beyond that's his voice and I get what he's saying to me, this is what I'm supposed to do about it. So much more beneficial. And all of that is part of the understanding package. The beginning of wisdom is discovered and built upon a foundation of reverential living. And what I find so fascinating and so encouraging is the way God, in his sovereignty, has wisdom not just extravagantly given to us, but he also has wisdom actively seeking us out. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. At entrances, she cries aloud. Now, the English translators threw us a little curveball here. When I first stumbled on this passage, working on this series, I thought, good, there's wisdom and understanding right together again. And it looks like two voices calling out, the voice of wisdom and the voice of understanding. But this word for understanding, sometimes the English language, they just put the best word they can. But in the Hebrew is much more precise, much more picturesque, much more descriptive. And actually, this is not the word for understanding that I'm using in the context of in pursuit of wisdom and understanding. This word for understanding, it's not even two different voices. This word for understanding is actually one of the signature manifestations of the effects of wisdom. When wisdom shows up, what this word understanding describes is something like that spontaneous aha moment. You've been looking, you've been searching, you've been needing the answer, and all of a sudden, bam, there it is. You get it. This word understanding, what it really means, it describes the sudden and unpredictable revelation that when it comes, changes things. It changes the way you're acting, and it changes the way you think. So this isn't just an aha, aha. This is an aha. That's it. That's the answer. That sets me on a new course. That sets my mind in the right place. Digging deeper into this word, when you get this kind of aha, you might get goosebumps all over you. It might even cause you to shudder. I mean, it's that kind of thing. It's unmistakable. It's unmissable. And in Proverbs 2, it actually encourages to pay attention to these moments. Proverbs 2 talks about turning our ears to wisdom and applying our hearts to this kind of aha moment. So be careful. When this aha moment hits, one of the first things that can happen is you think in your mind, well, I wonder what that's all about. Check right in here. When that aha moment happens, check right inside your heart. What is that all about? What are you speaking to me, Lord? What are you showing? I felt that. I know that. That's you speaking to me. Proverbs 2 also encourages us to cry out for these needed moments. When you need an aha moment, ask for it. Cry out for it. So many times we don't have the things that we need because we just don't ask God for it. So ask him for it, and then you're specifically looking for it. A prayer in Ephesians 1 is along the similar line and theme of this, and it's a prayer for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be given to us. That's a good match for wisdom and understanding, crying out the voices of wisdom and revelation. It's one voice crying out. Why did in Ephesians they ask for us to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation? So that we could experientially know God more. Not so just we can get some more facts about God or play Trivial Pursuit about God answers, but so that we could know him in our life and know him in our experience. And that's this powerful combination that happens. I found the best way to do that is not with a why God question. When you're looking for wisdom and revelation, you're needing an aha moment, questioning God about the whys, like why haven't you done it yet is not the best way to get the answer from God. You can read the Bible a lot. Job got the answer to his why question. He wished he hadn't asked it when he got the answer. Nobody else gets the answer to that question. And what happens with the why, and I think the reason God resists it is because when we're asking God why questions, we've actually got ourselves out of position. When we're asking God why questions, it's basically like, hey, listen, you're working for me. You're supposed to be doing whatever I want you to do, whenever I want you to do it. Come on, God, snap to it. That's just pride. That's just straight out pride right there. And more than once, and once would have been enough, but more than once, the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So I think when these aha moments are needed and when they come, instead of asking why, which gets us out of position, the way to get back in position is to ask what. What are you saying? What does this mean? What am I missing? What do I need to do? What is it that you're trying to direct me into? Because what is the voice and the attitude of humility. When we ask what, we're positioning ourselves. I'm still the learner here. You're still the Lord. There's no other God like you. You're good at it. You don't owe me an answer, but I stand here confidently before you asking because I know you love to give answers and I know you love to give wisdom. And so I stand here confidently. You don't owe it to me, but at the same point, I have an expectancy you'll give it to me. You're the teacher. I'm the learner. I'm here. Speak to me, Lord. Show me what's in your heart. My job, whether you give me the answer or not, and here's my commitment, whether I get the answer, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you with all of my heart, and with all of my soul, and with all of my mind, and all my strength, but an aha moment right now would be really helpful. Come on, Lord. This says wisdom calls out from the heights, at the crossroads, in the places where the doors open, as well as in every place of influence. That means this, in our mountaintop moments, Wisdom has something to say. Sometimes when we get to the mountaintop, we think we've arrived and we quit listening to wisdom. Listen, when you get to the mountaintop, wisdom has something to say. It has something to say to us about how we got there. I think it also has something to say that you're probably not just jumping to the next mountain, so it has some things to tell us. Now, with what you've learned as you go back down into the valley, hold on to these things because you're going to need them before you come back up the other side. On the mountaintop, wisdom still has things to say. When we come to that place where we have to make a decision, we can't just keep going the way we're going. We come to a crossroads. We got to go to the right or to the left. In those moments, wisdom has something to say to us if we'll stop and listen. In the moments when a new opportunity opens up, is this something we should step into, or is this something that's a distraction and it's off the mark of worship? Wisdom has something to say in those moments. And I also think one of the things it emphasizes here is that in the counsel of older and wiser, more experienced people, wisdom has something to say. So don't get stuck just trying to get the wisdom all on your own. You're surrounded in a family of people here who have a diverse amount of experiences with the Lord. And many times when we're not being able to hear God ourselves, you talk to a friend or somebody who loves you and is praying for you, and out of their mouth comes the word of wisdom that you need, that for whatever reason you couldn't get. I think one of the reasons it happens that way is God really wants us to know we really need each other. No one is an island. We're not supposed to be able to make it all on our own. And so he surrounds us with people. So when we're not getting the word of wisdom we need, we can ask somebody older and wiser, and there it comes. What's wisdom's message? Verse 4. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. Once again, we have an affirmation here of the extravagant, unconditional nature of God's wisdom. It calls out to everyone, young, old, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, men and women, boys and girls, rich and poor. It even calls out to the simple and to the foolish. To the simple, the call is gain prudence. To the foolish, gain understanding. And here's that word. To the foolish, the solution for foolishness is understanding. The discernment, the comprehension, the interpretation kind of understanding that we're talking about in this pursuit of wisdom and understanding. Now about the simple, the Amplified says it this way. Oh, you simple and thoughtless. But when you dig into the Hebrew, actually the word used here to describe simple is, it's actually the word for seducible. Seducible. What this word that's there is simple means is people who are just too open. I mean, like, all the gods are the same. They're all headed the right way. That kind of thought, you buy into that. This word for simple, the seducible, is for people who make too much room for questionable moral things, things you know you shouldn't be doing, things that when you do them, you know they're wrong, but you're still making room for that in your life. And people who make too much room for mental things, places you go in your mind and things you're thinking about during the day that you know you shouldn't be thinking about. And when you leave yourself open to those things, you're in this simple category and you are in danger because deception is very deceiving. None of us get a free pass from having to deal with deception. But if simple is what's describing the place you're at, if you're in a seducible place, you are more prone to fall for it and get caught by it. What wisdom identifies as lacking in the simple, it says gain prudence. But actually, this is a really cool word. This means gain strategic discretion. Strategic discretion. Discretion is a quality of behaving or speaking in a way that helps you avoid offending other people. Discretion is also the freedom to know what you should do, when you should do it, and to step into that place. There's a famous saying, discretion is a better part of valor. That means discretion will tell you sometimes you walk into a situation and you should just walk right past it. And sometimes you walk into a situation you should go to war on that. One of the things I learned from Graham Cook many years ago was just because the enemy is rattling his swords and saying, come on, let's fight, bring it on, does not mean we're supposed to fight. The only time we're supposed to fight and go into spiritual warfare is when God says, get after it, let's do it. I've found through the course of our life to this point, many times when the enemy's rattling his swords and wanting our attention, the very best thing to do is turn my back on all of that and talk to God about it and say, hey, you see what's going on here? This is messing with me. This is messing with my mind. And just start moving toward the Lord and pressing into the Lord's presence. And many times the Lord will deal with that without us even having to deal with it. And I'm telling you, the enemy hates to be ignored. Because the more we look at it, even when we're saying, I'm going to get you, we're actually making him bigger and bigger. It's like putting air in the balloon. But when we turn our back and we just start walking toward the Lord, if there's something we need to do there, God will say, okay, now do it. Take him right now. And then you turn around and do it. Another thing I learned from Graham is the only good fights are the ones you win. That's the only good ones. And many times we get ourselves into fights that God has not sent us into. And God's still merciful and he's still kind and he's still with us. But we get there's a lot of beating up and hurt and wounding that happens when we get in a fight early when we're not supposed to be there. And so this strategic discretion is an important dynamic that we can all benefit from. Because all of us have those places still in our lives where we're still seducible. And little by little, the Lord's closing those things up so we can be with him. This kind of discretion is what comes with understandings, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. This kind of discretion, you hear, oh, that's the voice of the Lord. Stay away from that. That's the voice of the Lord. Oh, I hear what he said to me. That's the voice of the Lord. Now I know what to do about it. Now about the foolish, the Amplified pulled no punches. The Amplified said, you self-confident fools, be of an understanding heart. Now, that self-confident fools kind of has an ouch in it, but I love the connection to an understanding heart, because again, this kind of understanding isn't something that starts in our mind. It starts in our heart and comes to our mind, but it starts here in our heart. And then wisdom says this to everybody, listen, I have got excellent things to say to you. This word for excellence can also be defined as honor. And beyond that, it can also mean to stand out boldly, opposite of something. So in other words, this kind of wisdom, sometimes the foolishness that we get all caught in is somebody does something to us and right back we do to them what they did to us. That's foolishness. But what this kind of wisdom does is wisdom calls out. Somebody does something to us and we're able to let that go right by us, and not only that, but respond in the opposite spirit to what's being done to us. That's a manifestation of wisdom in our lives. In those places where we're still prone for foolishness, that's what wisdom wants to do. It gives us these excellent things, and it gives us the ability. Everybody may be going this way. The tide of things may be going this way. There's peer pressure to go this way, and wisdom comes up inside and says, listen, that's not the way. Go this way. And gives us the courage to stand up, even when everybody seems to be going that way, go, wait a minute. I don't think that's the right way to go. I think this is what God would have us to do. Wisdom allows us to speak like that. So in other words, you put all that together, and what happens with wisdom as we hear it, it raises us up not to be the tail anymore, but to be the head. Now, you can live as the tail being wagged by the dog if you want to, but I believe we're called to be the head. And in order to be the head, we need to be moving in wisdom. And wisdom will tell us how to do it. Instead of just being in the crowd of sheeple that are just going that way, wisdom is the one that tells us this is the way and then gives us the courage to stand up and the anointing to call others out of that and into a more perfect way. The things that wisdom has to say are also right things. And this kind of rightness speaks to a single-minded straightness. Wisdom won't tell you this and tell you this. There's no double-mindedness in wisdom. It's a single-minded straightness. Wisdom calls us to the narrow road, not to the broad road. And it reflects also in evenness. Wisdom's not riding the roller coaster going up and down. One of the things that you can note when you're moving in a spirit of wisdom is this evenness that happens inside of yourself, in your temperament, in your perceptions about what's going on, as well as in your personality. Instead of going up and down and in and out and all that kind of stuff, which can sometimes be exciting, but is also exhausting, when you're moving in a place of wisdom, there's just this steady, cool confidence that I know I'm right there. It's like the peace in the middle of the storm. Doesn't mean the storm goes away. It doesn't even mean you're not on the roller coaster, but you're not freaked out about being on the roller coaster. You have a confidence that God's in charge and God is with you, and that's the voice of wisdom manifesting inside of us. And one other thing that comes with this that is so powerful, the right things that wisdom has to say is the information we need to create agreement with one another. And how many know that in our day, the world is longing for some people that are moving in the kind of wisdom, that know the things to say, that instead of creating, boop, two different sides of antagonism and strife, knowing the things to say that cause people to come together and be one. And that's these right things that wisdom speaks. That's part of that package. Verse 7, my mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. The only source of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is wisdom. Every other source is tainted. The Amplified says, all the words of my mouth are righteous and upright. All the words of my mouth are in right standing with God. There is nothing contrary to the truth, nothing crooked in them. The contrast cannot be more obvious. Truth versus wickedness. Just versus crooked and perverse. There's real wisdom, and then there's a counterfeit wisdom. And there's a resistance out there sometimes when we're pursuing wisdom where it masquerades like wisdom but isn't wisdom. And I'll talk about that resistance next weekend. But staying with this weekend, our perspective, our relationship, our response to wisdom reveals where we're at in a couple things. It reveals the level of discerning that we're living at, and it also reveals the level of experiential knowledge we have. The more discerning we are, the more that's part of our everyday life, when wisdom speaks to us, it's plain as day. We know exactly what it was. It was just like it was written on the wall. We see it as clear as day. We grasp it. We understand it. The more foggy it is when wisdom speaks to you, that's just something, Lord, give me more discernment. Give me more understanding. Let me grow in that. Because when it gets to the level where we're moving, where God wants us in discerning, the words of wisdom are plain and clear. And the other thing that happens as we have more experiential knowledge, we recognize the words of wisdom as faultless. And that is so important because even in one of those aha moments that gives you goosebumps or causes you to shudder, if your mind engages first, it might be the word of the Lord and your response might be, well, I don't know. That's a pretty good idea. I'm not sure where that came from, but I'm not sure if that's God or not. And then you get into all that kind of conversation. But the more experiential knowledge we have with God paired with discerning, when the word of the Lord comes, when wisdom comes, it is faultless to us. And that eliminates the brake pedal and gets us right into the moment, just doing, putting into place exactly what he said, when he said to do it, right as he said to do it. It says here, the choice is always left to us. And that's just the way it is. Wisdom's calling out. Wisdom's pursuing us. We get to choose. Silver and gold and rubies have their value and their place. There's some value in pursuing them, but nothing compares to the value of living in pursuit of wisdom and understanding. And now listen to this and let these words wash over you. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear, to reverence the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. I hate evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound intellectual judgment are mine. I have understanding, the discerning, the comprehension, the interpretation. I have all of that and power. By me, kings reign, and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern, and all nobles who rule on the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Again, in this, I love those who love me is just a reminder that we're not here just to be touched by God. We're here and created not only to receive his love, but to give it back to him. Something happens in God's heart when we choose to affectionately respond to him in the way that he is affectionately responding to us. We're not just a sponge that's soaking it up, but we're giving it back to him. I love those who love me. And then it also says, those who seek me find me. The Amplified gets this more correct. Those who seek me early and diligently shall find me. There is a true benefit to being an early adopter to the ways of wisdom. The sooner we choose to live in pursuit of wisdom and understanding, the better. We can all look back at times from our past that were hard, that were hurtful, that were full of disappointments, that could have been avoided if only we had been more familiar to wisdom's call. However, this seek me early literally means at dawn. Those who seek me early find me. Those who get up early and are at the task with an earnestness find me. This is a top of the morning expectancy that we can choose to live with every day. Those that seek me, when you wake up, eyes pop open in the morning. What is it you got for me today? Lord, I love you. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for another night's sleep. Might have not been the best night, but it was still sleep, and I slept in air conditioning in my own bed. Thank you, Lord. I mean, just that kind of connection to the Lord that we start the day with. When we seek him like that, it says we will find him. And this kind of seeking leads to finding and to acquiring more wisdom. So not just finding it, it's like it was there and gone, but it's like that place of wisdom we bring and it becomes part of who we are. Remember David's exhortation to Solomon, though it cost you everything you have, get wisdom, acquire wisdom, and get, acquire understanding. And that's a noble focus for the literal start of every day. I also think get wisdom and get understanding is a really good answer to sometimes we don't know anything to pray, but more, Lord. And in more, Lord, we say more wisdom and more understanding. We can add that to it. And God loves to answer that prayer. You want some more reasons to seek wisdom and understanding? Listen to this. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Wow. Just like God is love, God is wisdom. And every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. Jesus said it this way, whoever has my commands and obeys them, they're the ones who love me. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I'm the vine, you're the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And Jesus went on to say, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Why? Because it will show that you are my disciples. And this takes us right back to the roots of a pursuit of wisdom and understanding, where the nations see the blessing on our life and go, what a wise and understanding people that they are. What an amazing thing how God is near them. When they pray, he's near them. And what an amazing way they live. Look at the standard above reproach that they choose to live in. And look at the blessing that comes into their life. I need some of that. That's God's heart. That's God's desire. Skip down to verse 32. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. God gives wisdom to us, and it actively seeks us out. God leaves our response to us. Will we listen intelligently? Will we give our full attention to it? Will we have a readiness to quickly obey? Those are choices, decisions we have to make. If the answer to those is yes, yes, and yes, then we'll be blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied. If we do, wisdom will literally also hedge us about, because inside the ways of wisdom, there is a protection to life. And there's also an attention to detail. In the ways of wisdom, you don't miss the things that you're supposed to be doing. Or, oh, it was Adam. Wisdom keeps us right in the details, because the details make a difference so many times. It's a straightforward black and white choice. Hear intelligently and be wise. Why would we consider any other option? There's no benefit if we ignore, refuse, or neglect God's instruction. Truth is, we've all done that. Truth is, we've all been there. And when we do, we all ended up in the same place at a dead end that requires us to make a U-turn. It's interesting, this Hebrew word for instruction can also be translated chastisement, reproof, and warning. And so that shouldn't surprise us. Hebrews 12 tells us God disciplines us for our own good, that we can share in his holiness. And along with all the encouraging, nice, supportive, attaboy, attagirl words that come with wisdom, with all the needed and necessary information that causes the breakthrough and the right application that comes with wisdom, there's also, listen, that's a mistake. Don't go that way. That's out of timing. That's not the right choice. There's correction. It's like, no, if you go that way, there's going to be a consequence that you don't want to have to deal with. All of that is in the scope of wisdom. And on that side of wisdom, the call is to repentance. It's not, okay, that's a bad mistake, and then all this condemnation. If you feel wisdom telling you you're making a bad mistake, and then you get piled on with condemnation, pay attention to that voice. Learn it. And stop listening to it, because that's not the Lord. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When the Lord brings correction and discipline into our life, it doesn't create a sense of hopelessness. It's like, oh, I see it. That was the wrong way. Oh, now I see it. This is the right way. That's the way the correction and the discipline of the Lord works. And when the Lord calls us to repentance, it's not with anger. It's not with frustration. The word says with kindness. with his kindness. Sometimes we wish he would just be mad at us. Sometimes we just wish, and God says, just come on. Just come. So kind. It always responding in the opposite spirit many times of what we would speak. Verse 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life. For whoever finds me receives favor from the Lord. Again, the contrast is so clear. Failing to hear and heed wisdom's call invites harm into our lives. And listen, if you invite harm into your life, it's coming. And it's not coming alone. It's coming with more than you think and more than you control. It's when we choose to ignore the voice of wisdom, that's not just some random choice. When we choose to avoid the word of wisdom, we are actually choosing on purpose, I'm going to miss the mark. I know it's going that way, but I feel it and I want it and I'm going this way even though I know it's wrong. And when you think about that, it seems that's even crazy, but sometimes we get caught in that moment, the willful choice to miss the mark. And all choices create consequences. Sometimes in the aftermath of those consequences, we even fall for, well, this is God's fault. That kind of lie comes to us, and it pushes us toward having a personal offense to God, and it can even lead to a hatred. It says in verse 36, whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death. So there's this dangerous pathway, dangerous edge we can go over there that plays right into the devil's hands, and it births even kind of a death wish inside of us. Far too many people being stolen away with suicidal thoughts. But some of that is because they've been ignoring and missing the wisdom that God is trying to give them and speak to them. We are called for life. Every human being called for life, abundant life, experiential life, all the way to the full. So clearly the better option is to live in pursuit of wisdom and understanding. The better and blessed response is to listen and watch daily for wisdom. In other words, to make listening and watching our habitual lifestyle. I just want to tell you that if you're hearing this, and yeah, this is good, and that's interesting, sounds right, but I'm just going to keep, things are going pretty well for me right now, so I'm just going to keep going the way I'm going right now. I'm not going to step it up another level asking for wisdom, and I'm happy with the understanding I got. And then when you get yourself in a bind and you start looking for wisdom and understanding, you're going to have a hard time finding it because you haven't been listening to the voice. When we're in a bind, so many times we default to what's in our mind. And when we're in a bind and we're squeezed, the stuff in our mind just goes out to the wind. It is no help at all. It's the things that we have inside, the things that we've acquired, that we've gained in our heart, that when we get squeezed reveals that is who we are. And so living daily, pursuing wisdom, watching for it, is what we need to get it on the inside so that we're ready to respond. We're waiting when wisdom comes. Last weekend, I quoted the Message Bible saying, snub evil and cultivate good. Well, this kind of waiting is an equally picturesque kind of thing. This kind of waiting is to lay in wait for. In other words, it's like, I don't know where I'm going to find it, but I know it's coming. And as soon as it comes, I'm getting that wisdom. I'm not going to let it get by me. It's not getting away from me. This kind of wisdom can almost even be to the edge of like stalking wisdom. Like, I'm going to the places where I've seen it. I'm going to the places where I've gotten it before. I know where wisdom hangs out, and I'm going to keep hanging out there because I'm looking for it, because I know it's going to show up. And when it shows up, I want it, and I want it to be mine, and I want to acquire it and have it for who I am. It's when, in regards to wisdom, observing wisdom, guarding it when we get it, protecting it from being stolen to us. That's this kind of waiting. This is not sitting back in your lazy boy saying, okay, God, give me an aha moment. No, this is engaged. This is not passive in any way. This is active. This is alert. It's purposeful. It's intentional. It is full of faith, knowing that we're not asking for something God doesn't want to already do, but the righteous live by faith. And so we wake up with a sense of expectancy. He's going to get me the wisdom I need. He's going to get me the understanding that I need. I think it also reveals the heart of a servant. We live watching daily and waiting for wisdom. It's like, we're depending on you. I can't do this on my own. I don't want to do this on autopilot. I need the wisdom. I need the understanding. And the only place I can get what I need is from you. Lord, I'm here to serve you. Have favor and bless your servant. And in fact, that's what ends up happening here. When we live like this, we find life and we come forth as light and we appear as light that others recognize and we exist as life itself. And we attain the fullest expression and experience life the way God meant it to be known. And the way that God meant it to be done. And on top of that, something else happens. We live in the favor of the Lord. Now, this kind of favor literally means we live in the demonstrated delight of the Lord. I'm telling you what, there is no better place to live. There's no better way to end the day than at the end of the day going, Father, how was the day today? And just sensing his smile and his delight over you. To be in the middle of the day, Father, how am I doing? Just seeing that and feeling and knowing the smile of God on our lives. In some other places in Scripture, it describes this favor like a rain cloud in the spring. It describes it like dew on the grass. And you know, with the rain clouds and the dew, it's like, I don't know where they came from or how they got there, but it makes a difference when they show up and it changes things and it's unmistakable when they're present. This kind of favor surrounds us like a shield. The favor of the Lord surrounds us like a shield. There are places when we're living in the favor of God where the enemy cannot find us and the enemy cannot touch us. We may be right in the middle of enemy territory, but with the favor of God surrounding us, we can walk right through there, none of his arrows being able to hit us. This favor creates a stability in our lives. We're not having to earn it. We're not having to prove it. We're just living in the favor and the demonstrated delight of the Lord. And another cool thing about the favor is it lasts a lifetime. And this favor is a way to live experiencing God's embrace. It's not a mental thing. It's a real experience where we know he delights in us. We can feel his presence, and it positions us in the center of his mercy and compassion as we go through the day and as we live in a pursuit of wisdom and understanding. Listen, wisdom is calling out. What will our response be? Let's stand together.